Morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's been really good to be here this morning. Once again, I'm convinced that God pulled it together all the way from the beginning of this first song and continuing. And I've been thinking a lot about Vancouver Street Meetings coming up, and I know that many of you have been too, and I think that is really good. We've been praying about it. It's been a prayer request at many of the recent Wednesday evening prayer services, and I'm sure lots of you are praying personally as well. It's really good also. Some of you are heavily involved with this work. It's probably weighing heavier on your minds than some of the rest of us. And God bless you for that work. And then there are others who are planning to go along and share in that work. And I just want to give God's blessing to you. So it's those thoughts, street meetings, and thoughts of reaching out probably are significant influence to what I want to share this morning. I know I preached a sermon of sorts related to this several years ago, not in regards to street meetings or outreach, but the idea of a heart of compassion. For myself personally, it's so easy to get caught up with my life and my own little world, and I miss the needs and cares of others around me. I must remember the world doesn't just revolve around me, and I must take an interest in the things of God, first of all, and then also in the things of others. A verse that came to my mind this week is there in Acts when Peter and John were headed into the temple. I think you remember that story in Acts 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." And we know the story how Peter took the lame man by the hand and God healed him. I believe God has asked us to have hearts of compassion and to reach out to others in various ways. It just might be financially in some instances and through other earthly necessities. But the greatest gift we have to give is beyond what we have in and of ourselves. So while the sermon may be focusing on having hearts of compassion, the greatest burden is to have hearts with a burning desire and a passion to share and give what is springing and overflowing from God working within us. John 7, verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So the amplified meaning of this, "from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water." Compassion and zeal for God are going to be part of our life here in Creston, on the streets of Vancouver, and wherever we go. And praise God for abundant life in him. There have been examples of compassion in the Bible. I'll touch on a few of those. There's more than I have, obviously. Boaz, he instructed his workers to leave grain behind for Ruth to glean from the fields. The widow of Zarephath, she was nearly out of food, yet she prepared a meal for Elijah. Moses, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. With God's help, he was a compassionate leader in spite of his human failures. Joseph, being severely mistreated and sold to slavery, he forgave his brothers and had compassion on them when he had everything in his power to take advantage of the situation. Dorcas, she met the needs of those around her, caring for the widows and providing clothing for the poor. Paul, journey from hatred to compassion. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, says in Acts 9. But then on the Damascus road, he met God. He had heart change, that hard heart and fervor for something other was now changed to compassion. His burning compassion for souls has influenced our lives, so many lives, even to this day. Jesus, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. It was mentioned in Sunday school already at what a great example Jesus is. Matthew 14:14 is the verse I just read. Jesus is our perfect example of compassion. The Gospels are full of his healing, caring for the needy, and forgiving sins. He did and is still doing an eternal work of saving mankind. Thank you. Perhaps one of the most touching examples of Jesus' compassion is at the grave of Lazarus. John 11, 33 through 36. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." Have you ever been gripped like that? I hope that we can, and we do, get gripped by that desire and care and concern for others. Jesus really does care about each one of us. He is the perfect example of compassion and loving care. It's wholesome and complete, and he longs to provide eternal life, spiritual healing. In Mark 2, verses 9 through 11, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and take up thy bed and walk"? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." Our Heavenly Father is a compassionate God. Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. God's compassion is infinite and eternal. In Lamentations, we read that God's compassions are new every morning, and they fail not. So where does a heart of compassion come from, and how important is it that we have a heart of compassion? Remember when the religious leaders were gathered together and were trying to trap Jesus or trick him in his words, in what he was saying, and the lawyer in the group asked Jesus in Matthew 22, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This means that compassion is not just an attribute of God, but also a quality of God's people. God's love and compassion changes our hearts. And we in turn have hearts of love and compassion. So really, if we are not a compassionate people, we are not people of God if we do not have that part of our life. 1 John 3, verse 17 and 18, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We see in these verses that hearts of compassion spill over and move into action. Hearts of compassion are created from the source of God's love. And hearts of compassion make a difference in the world around them. We turn to Luke 10. It's a familiar story of the Good Samaritan. I'm going to read verses 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise." In these verses, again, we have Jesus pointing out the most important things for the believer: loving God with all the heart, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. The lawyer, it seems, felt a bit judged this man, Jesus, is telling me that I'm not keeping the whole law, that I'm not loving my neighbor. To respond, well, who is my neighbor? I wonder if I myself get confused sometimes of who my neighbors really are. Maybe it's not even confusion, actually. Maybe just cold-hearted selfishness that chooses to look the other way and focus on my little world that I was talking about earlier. How am I really doing with touching lives in Creston? We can get really excited about going to Vancouver and setting aside 3 or 4 specific days to reach out and yet totally drop the ball here at home. It's fair to say, I think, that we have dropped the ball at times, a bit more than we probably care to admit. I know I have. And please don't take me wrong, because I know Vancouver street meetings and all the other outreaches are very important. I believe that. I'm just challenging us to make it part of our life. Again, that was something we heard in Sunday school. Make it part of our life. If we have nothing to give here, we have nothing to give there. What about the hurting, struggling people in our church community? Is it possible we are missing it? Are we reaching out? How much do our lives revolve around others, and are we really connecting with our brothers and sisters? Different stages in life affect how far we can reach. I get that. I think there's truth to that with families, because family is important too, and you can help me with that, something I grapple with. But our families need to know what hearts of compassion are too, and be involved with it. If we have a heart of compassion, we will reach out every chance we get. Too often, we don't even know who our neighbors actually are. Jesus in compassion gives a story to illustrate and drive the point home to this lawyer and to us. One of the first pitfalls we fall into when we see someone in need is we jump to conclusions and we judge. Why was this traveler traveling here by himself? This road between Jerusalem and Jericho was known for its danger. It was a decent stretch, 21 miles, I believe. It was a wild, rugged, rocky pass much of the way. Thieves loved this spot, and it was well known for situations like this. It was called the Way of Blood. Travelers rarely, if ever, well, obviously they did sometimes, journeyed there alone. They would travel in caravans often. So really, wasn't this traveler irresponsible, foolish, reckless? Haven't we all found ourselves results of wrong and bad choices, poor choices? I think it's safe to say that all of us have blindly or even willingly headed on into that dangerous path alone, knowing full well that danger and failure were bound to happen. Compassion loves and cares, no matter how the situation came into effect, whether on purpose, by accident, or simply by the hand of God. However, compassion is not blind and does not compromise. Compassion cares about the heart, most importantly. Compassion seeks and walks in light and truth. Next pitfall we find ourselves in is to be like the priest. The priest, it says, passed by on the other side. Why do you think he passed by on the other side? It seems he was in a hurry. He had an ego to maintain, perhaps. Also, as a priest, if he would touch a dead body, he would be unclean for 7 days. So he may have to sacrifice his special calling for this man. God's greatest work is to have hearts of compassion and to share God's love and compassion to others. So form, rituals, ceremonies, and good traditions have their place, but it must not take the place of the love of Jesus in our hearts. It must not compromise truth. There's the word Christian and perhaps Mennonite set us a notch above everyone else. Do we select carefully who we reach out to? We understand the importance of worship and fellowship in Jesus, church form and function, and all the important things of strong brotherhood. But I do think that it is very easy to lose focus. Not because of the faults and failures of brotherhood standards and all of that, but because of our own carnal hearts. We need hearts of compassion that see everything within these four walls, and heart of compassion that sees beyond these four walls. We need the real love of Jesus in our hearts. What makes brotherhood? Is it mostly me? Or maybe it's mostly one of you. We all have that tendency, don't we, to think our thoughts and feelings are the most important. Brotherhood is together, and I do believe hearts of compassion have a whole lot to do with that, too. We reach out in compassion. Maybe if we'd actually cared about others' feelings and opinions, we'd find out they might actually care about ours, too. Church life and community are very, very important, but it really is useless if we don't have hearts of compassion and reach out to the needy souls around us, and more importantly, to the needs and hurting souls right among us. God tells us to care for our own. Then shall we say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Luke 12:47, and that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Isaiah 6:6, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And Micah 6:8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Another pitfall is that of the Levite. Started out good. He was touched with enough feeling to walk over and look upon the man. So he had a bit of an interest to see at least what had happened or how bad it really was. But maybe that isn't so good. And we'd never do this, but have we? We're glad to know about it. But to make a difference and do something about it, maybe not so much. The gossiping and the so-called concern we have sometimes, even in the name of sharing, and prayer requests. Prayer is important, and sometimes that's all we can do. But a compassionate prayer and a really concerned heart isn't just going to pass by with one glance or one prayer. Maybe he feared being identified as a robber, the one who hurt and mistreated this man. Maybe he feared the robbers could still be lurking around. They could be anywhere, and he could be in harm's way himself. Maybe the injured man looked like he was going to, like he wasn't going to make it. Maybe he looked like there was no hope. Besides, how do you carry a full-grown man alone down a treacherous trail by yourself? Better one dies than two. It doesn't say in this passage that he went on and told his story to his friends, but I'm sure he did, at least parts of it. Picture that in my mind, and maybe from my own carnal nature. That is likely what he did. We like to do that. Even among our peers and church brethren, we enjoy the good story, but do nothing about it. And in most cases, it makes matters even worse. I'm going to read some more scriptures here. Let me try to keep up if you wish. I'll read them quickly. Just to reaffirm the importance of putting compassion into action. Luke 16:19-23. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. James 2:14-16. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye have given them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if hath not works, is dead, being alone. 1 John 3:17-18, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In Psalm 109:16-17, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. Proverbs 21:13, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Proverbs 24:11-12, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? and he that keepeth thy soul doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? In Ezekiel 34, 2 through 4, or 2 and 4. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which is broken. Neither have ye brought again that which is driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. We looked at pitfalls that we want to avoid. The third man who came upon the scene, the Good Samaritan, placed compassion before everything. Prejudice, opinion, work, time, energy, and money. It didn't matter. His heart went out to this hurt and potentially dying man. The Jews and the Gentiles didn't get along that well. We kind of know that situation a bit. These two different races hated and despised each other. The Samaritans were looked down on for more than one reason. They were half Jews by birth and half Jews by religion, even. In 720 BC, the king of Assyria captured the 10 tribes of Israel and deported a large number of them throughout Media. He then took people from all over the Assyrian Empire and transplanted them into Samaria to repopulate the land. They were considered transplanted people. They were considered the weak of the land who had not been or who had been left behind. And they were considered the outcast and irreligious who had intermarried with the original Samaritan. The strict Jews held to a pure race. So in the eyes of the Jews, this was evil. They were better than the Samaritans. Transplanted heathen, of course, brought their gods with them. When Ezra led the Jews back from exile to Babylon, the first thing the Jews did was to start rebuilding the temple. Samaritans offered to help them, but the Jews rejected their help, declaring that the Samaritans, through intermarriage and worship of false gods, had lost their purity and forfeited their right to worship the only true God. This embittered the Samaritans against the Jews in Jerusalem. And then they all said the difference, Mount Gerizim versus worshiping in Jerusalem, and so on. These details all played into the hatred and tension that the Gentiles and Jews had towards each other. So back to the Good Samaritan. He had a lot of reason, if anyone did, to keep his distance. Here was a Jew in need. Here was a Jew that was better than him. Jews curse the Samaritans, and all things as rights were concerned, he had no reason to help this man. But despite all the fears he may have had, he reached out with a heart of compassion. He took significant steps to help this man. I think it does us good to consider them as we ponder whether we have hearts of compassion or not, and whether we see and love our neighbors as we should. You may have picked out more, but the first thing, he went to him, went forth. He took it upon himself personally to reach out and help. He bound up his wounds. He was concerned about how he felt. In this case, it's not necessarily his feelings, but he was concerned about his well-being. He poured oil and wine into his wounds, the intent of healing and nourishment. He set him on his own beast, sacrificed of his own comfort. He provided rooming for him, provided basic necessities. He took care of him and nursed. Again, that's a personal, took it upon him personally to look after him. And he saw to it that he received continued support even when he could no longer. This man genuinely cared about the hurt man. There are three things that compassion cost him, three general things we could say. And the same three general things cost us today as well when we show compassion. It's time, energy, and money. Those are like the most important and valuable things of our life. I think that often we don't forfeit that much. We give the leftover time and we give the leftover money. And then quite likely we are always wore out and hardly have enough energy left to give. Heart of compassion really does take a lot out of us. It really does. But I don't know if you remember the verse I began with at the beginning. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What do we really have to give in and of ourselves? Nothing. We have nothing, and so we must receive that something from the Lord Jesus. It must be running full course through our veins. It cost us our most valuable things. Compassion is not compassion until we get up and do something about it. Empathy and pity have feelings for the need, but compassion seeks to make a change and alleviate the problem. Jesus asked the lawyer, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" We know as well as the lawyer who the good neighbor was. The Samaritan had a heart of compassion. How is my heart? In verse 37, Jesus says, "Go and do thou likewise." That's a call to us as well. Go and do thou likewise. How do we do this? What exactly should we be doing? Well, let's go to the scriptures. I have a few more scriptures to read here. Matthew 25, 35 through 40. "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord," am I reading this twice here? Start over. "When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of you, the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Acts 20, verse 35. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Romans 12, 20. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Galatians 6, verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Hebrews 13, 3. "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." Exodus 23, verse 4. "If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee." Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 19. "For the Lord your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers." Proverbs 24, 17. "Rejoice not when thine enemy faileth, when the enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth." Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." What is God asking of you? What is he asking of me? It may be different in practical outworking for all of us, but some things are very clear from the scriptures. And let's allow God's word and the convicting of the Holy Spirit to move us. Hearts of compassion come from God. How is my heart in relating to those around me? And do I actually have something to give? Is my heart full and overflowing? Stay close to God. I mentioned how it needs to be a continual part of our life and not just on the streets of Vancouver. So let's shore up our commitment here at home. However, as we come up closer to this event, let's use this moment to once again allow God to change us, allow God to use us. What we have to give comes from God. There's nothing more. So let's go to the source. For those of us who can't attend, be a prayer warrior and support in other practical ways. Those opportunities are coming and have started already. So God's blessing to all of you, wherever he has called you in reaching out and serving, and may he give you hearts of compassion. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you care about each one of us. You care about even the lost. And Lord, help us to have hearts of compassion. We are no more special than anybody else, but help us to share the love that you have bestowed upon us. Pray that you would be with the plans for Vancouver Street Meetings. Continue to bless that work. Pray you would continue to bless our daily lives here in Creston. Help us to have hearts of compassion every single day and throughout all of our activities of life. Pray, Lord, you would bless those who are not here this morning. Keep them in thy care. Pray also you would bless the coming week, plans for next weekend as well. May your will be done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.